It's here and now. This is the first day of the Olympic swimming trials in Omaha, Nebraska. We are not there. We are only dreaming of being there and of swimming. Last week, we took a trip to Crystal Lake. That's where residents of Newton, Massachusetts paddle around. It's one of thousands of swimming holes across the country. Did you know that in 1910, the YMCA claimed that swimming prevents gray hair? That goggles weren't even permitted in the Olympics until 1976. That Freud called the breaststroke the thinking person's stroke. And scientists spent years refining it and the so-called S-stroke or crawl using a theory in physics called the Bernoulli's principle. Well, we know all of this because we've read journalist Lynn Scherr's terrific new book, Swim, Why We Love the Water, which starts with her attempt to swim across what's now known as the Dardanelles in western Turkey, but was once the Hellespont, the body of water that divides Europe from Asia, and also divided the mythic Greek characters Hero and Leander from each other. He would swim the Hellespont to meet with her until, oh dear, he drowned, and she threw herself from her tower. They became known as the aquatic Romeo and Juliet.
As a result of it, Hero and Leander became the most famous swimming myth in Western lore. There were poems about them. There were songs in ancient lore as well as modern. Swimming the Hellespont became this iconic challenge for anyone with either a classical education or an interest in swimming, both of which I happen to have.
Were you afraid, this idea of the open water swim as opposed to a pool, you meet people who swim, you know, around Manhattan and have swum really extraordinary lengths. You're doing this open water swim, which for many people, just the idea that you're out there with jellyfish, without anything to grab onto, there's no railing.
There were safety boats. What I swam in was an international race. It's not as if I jumped into the Atlantic Ocean mid-crossing and just said, I think I'll start swimming. This was watched. This was monitored. Still, yes, I was out there essentially on my own, although, I was surrounded by 430-some other people.
Well, you know, some of us have swum, you know, big ponds in this area. If you swim Walden Pond, for instance, you're aware it's a kettle pond. It is so deep in the middle. It can get kind of existential, you know, when you're out in the middle there, does it?
I love that. And yes, the Hellespont is very deep. It's an immense shipping channel. It's a very busy shipping channel, by the way. They only stop the ships for 90 minutes, and if you don't make it across in 90 minutes, they will fish you out. So the challenge was to make it across before the humiliation of getting fished out. And also, yes, it was very deep. And I, like many of my colleagues who swam it as well, stopped in the middle, and I realized, and I looked and I said, there's Europe, there's Asia. I'm swimming in between them, and right now I'm smack in the middle. I liked being in that body of water surrounded by blue, with land looking pretty far distant on both sides, and knowing that I had done it by myself. That is to say, without a paddle, without a boat, without any help.
Well, so the swim, which is laced through your story, the swim is about getting to this deep part of yourself. Your writing is about getting to what makes people swim. I mean, you talk to just about everybody who's ever done it on a high level. What did you find? What is it that propels people?
What I found, first of all, is that swimmers love, love, love swimming. There is no middle ground. Swimmers are total addicts, and they want to do it. They want to talk about it. I've got a little page in the book that I borrowed with permission. The title is You Know You're a Swimmer If. And there are many ways to finish that sentence. And the ones I've included in the book are, you know you're a swimmer if you're driving across a bridge and you look down and you think, I could swim across this. And when you swim, when I swim, I get into a zen-like state. The rhythm of my strokes keeps me centered. The lane line, if I'm in a pool, keeps me centered. And I just can travel to another planet. It is the only medium in which I can feel as if I'm flying.
Yeah. You take us through the history of swimming, especially here in the United States, where women especially were drowning because they had to swim with these ridiculous petticoats and things. And we know that swimming pools popped up in towns like Levittown. I lived in a town that had a swimming pool in the town center, but then the polio outbreaks were tied to all the swimming pools. So it's unbelievable. I mean, when you stop and think about it, the history.
And there was also the segregation issue. Pools were probably the last places in this country to be integrated.
Well, you know, we've been sitting by this water, And I can't stand it anymore.
You know, I'm watching this woman out there who has a very elegant stroke. She is doing what I tend to do, which is just slowly going back and forth, back and forth. You know, when I trained for the Hellespont, I really got into it. I did U.S. Master Swimming. I did drills. But this is the kind of swimming I like to do, which is lazy.
Well, you know, I got to ask you, though, before we jump. It's amazing the swimming world you take us into. Swim Trek, which organizes trips around the world. You go to a sort of a swimming boot camp in Curaçao.
Curaçao
with people that are swim all day long, and they include people like, oh, Dr. Oliver Sacks. This world that you peel the curtain off of people who will go anywhere, not just to swim, but to have their butts kicked to swim better.
Yeah, and I cannot tell you what the emails are that I've been getting. And I'm here, I answer every single one. I am hearing from people around the world saying, thank you for writing about my favorite activity. No one has ever understood why I wanted to be in the water all the time.
Well, let's get in, because I want to learn what you learned about technique, okay?
Oh, okay, fine. Okay.
You can't just jump in, you have to have goggles.
Yeah, I'm sliding in.
Okay, so it is a little cold.
It is a little cold, but you know, it's not too bad. It's a lake, after all.
Yes, it is. Now, I wanted to ask you, so you're talking to a graduate of Coach Slagle's AAU program in Plainview, Long Island, who, he was legendary, but I spent most of my time in the locker room throwing up, because swimming can be pretty competitive, you know, when you're, you know what I'm saying?
I need an approximate year, and there's a reason why I'm asking. You can give me a decade.
Like 50s, 60s.
Okay, so you and I both learned swimming the same way, which is not what kids learn today.
In other words, that...
We learned it flat. We learned with a coach standing right there on the dock. In my case, it was a camp counselor. Standing straight... with moving their arms straight up and down, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you swam.
And then they would turn their head from side to side. That was the old way. The new way they learn is when you reach forward for a crawl, you turn your body on its side. Oh. You do not swim flat. Everything is streamlined. So that when you're in the glide part of your crawl, you're really gliding. And you're not fighting to stay afloat all the time. See?
Yeah, as you're stroking now.
And elite swimmers have the most extraordinary bodies. They have bodies unlike yours and mine.
Well, but I just want to say one thing, Lynn Scherr, this is radio. You are a pretty darn good advertisement for swimming. We have to say one thing before we go and swim some more. Congratulations, because you won.
No.
I'm going to go with you won. The hell is...
You won my age group.
Well, okay. And was there anyone else in your age group?
No.
Okay. So, but still, how did that feel to make that crossing?
I still smile. Every time I think about it, look at me. I have a grin on my face right now. I cannot think about it or talk about it without smiling. It's the best physical challenge I've ever had. I never did anything like that in my life. I was a lazy lap swimmer. And the fact that I got in the water and did this, and that I, too, drive across a bridge and think I could swim there, it's part of my life now, and I hope I'll never give it up.
It's journalist Lynn Scherr, author of Swim, Why We Love the Water. This is Swim by the band Jacked Mannequin. It's become sort of an anthem for swimmers. You gotta swim. And we hope it inspires our newest listeners in central Pennsylvania. WITF, based in Harrisburg, covering all things regional in Lancaster, York, Lebanon, and beyond. Come on in, the water's fine, and thank you. Here and Now is a production of WBUR Boston in association with the BBC World Service and PRI. I'm Robin Young. Please join us to see what the week brings. Here and Now.